They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings. And today, we're going to be covering one of my favorite remakes of all time. And I think, Brent, you enjoy this one as well.
Yeah, I would. We can have the debate here in a minute, but this may be the best zombie movie of all time.
Oh,
we could have that discussion.
Oh, that is that's a hot take, spicy hot take Brent's got coming out the gate. But before all that, we got a little housekeeping. I have some stories to tell that I have not told Brent yet. So over the weekend, I went to Horror Hound in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. which is a big horror convention. It was a lot of fun, and I was going because to do stuff for my horror channel. By the time this goes up for everybody else, I should have my video up. If not, it'll be up soon. But
channel?
That's Gavin Loves Horror over on YouTube. Go over there.
I'll bleep it out. You can't allow to promote stuff.
But one of the guests there that I was really excited about was the Dead Meat YouTube channel. James A. Janisse and Chelsea Rebecca were there. And I was really nervous meeting them. Like, I've met other big names. I was, like, nervous meeting them, of all people, because they're kind of, they feel like regular people, so that makes mm-hmm. it somehow more intimidating. But I will say they were very nice. They were incredibly nice, and I was like, hey, you guys really inspired me to, like, start a YouTube channel and start a podcast. And like, oh, well, what's it about? I was like, horror. They're like, that's awesome. And I said, well, hey, can I give you guys a sticker? And they're like, absolutely. So I gave them They're Coming to Get You sticker. And Chelsea Rebecca said, this is a nice sticker, and that's a great name for a podcast. This is really good.
You're goddamn right it is.
Yeah. So I'm sure they're listeners now. So Chelsea and James, hello. Thank you for listening now. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, don't stop trying to be better than us. I didn't meet them. They weren't nice to me. No, I do enjoy those videos. I haven't seen all of them, of course, but mm-hmm. What they do over there is they pick a movie and essentially summarize it. They'll do a kill count type
yes.
deal.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy their stuff over there on YouTube. So.
Yeah, and they were incredibly nice, very, very down to earth. So that was awesome. Now for our housekeeping, and I do want to, and I want to start a feud here in a second. Mm-hmm. But we have a couple new Patreon subscribers. We've got Mike, who subscribed at the Barbara level. So he subscribed at our $2 tier, so he can have access now to our Discord server. So Mike, welcome aboard. Thanks for being a Patreon subscriber. And we got some new reviews over on Apple Podcasts. Tiger Killer 1974 says, "You know where the brownie is." he says, "This show has me laughing every time. It's so good. Thank you so much, Tiger Killer." And then Angela's Dong gave us a 4-star review and said, "Can be a little libtardy at times, but when they are talking about horror movies, it's actually a good listen."
Well, I wish I could turn off the libtardy stuff from what, Angela's Dong?
Yes, from Angela's Dong. And I will say he's right. When we had President Biden come on the show and just do abortions, that was probably a little too, that's probably too much. It's probably too much for us. Probably too much.
You can't go around killing people, Jack. You can't do it. Biden, this, it's not a real, it didn't, they weren't killed. I don't care, Corn Pop.
And then he kept forgetting and falling. That Sleepy Joe, everybody. That Dr. Sleepy Joe is what we called it.
Dr. Sleepy Joe.
But Angela's Dong, all kidding aside, we do appreciate you leaving us a 4-star review and hope to get 5 stars in your heart. And now, mm-hmm. the thing I really want to talk about is we are on Podomatic, which is our podcast
hosting
site. It's
the host site where we upload every week.
Yes. We have gotten as high as number 2 on the TV and movie podcast. Now, this is not Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This is just our specific hosting site, and that's it. However, we cannot dethrone the Jurassic Park podcast.
Now, what is that? What is it called? The Jurassic Park podcast?
It's called the Jurassic Park podcast. And they just talk about the Jurassic Park franchise. They discuss the movies, shows, theme parks, toys, video games, music, and more, according to them. Now, Brent, this is just about Jurassic Park. How many episodes do you think the Jurassic Park podcast has?
How many movies are there?
There are, I believe, there are 6 movies.
So 6 plus the book, and then we'll do one more for the merch. 8 episodes, tops.
They have 484 episodes.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. And I'd listen to it today. It's a very professional podcast. But Jurassic Park podcast, we coming for you. We want to be number one very specifically. So everybody, if you listen to the Jurassic Park podcast, say they're coming to get you. It's coming to get your ass.
I'm on JurassicParkPodcast.com, which you should not visit, dear listeners. And Brad Jost, we're coming for you. I'm calling out you personally. Jennifer Evan. No. Oh, they got a ton of people on the show. So
yes.
Yeah. Good for them. And sorry that we're about to dethrone you.
I know. It's just so crazy that this Jurassic Park podcast has an absolute stranglehold on number one.
I just don't know how you get that many episodes out of, unless they, maybe they do the Jurassic Park minute. So they break down every minute of the movies.
Well, they did three parts on just the music. Or something. Okay. It's like,
was that
like,
John Williams?
Yeah, I think so. So
hold on to your butts, Jurassic Park podcast. We coming for you.
We coming for you. We can't say that last part. Yeah, if you're a Booker T fan. But yeah, so that's our housekeeping. Again, if you want to help support the podcast, leave us a review, subscribe to us, and of course, subscribe to our Patreon over at patreon.com/ They're Coming to Get You.
Over on Patreon right now is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, which is just out in time for the sequel, which you're going to see here soon, and your review will be over on Gavin Loves Horror, right, Gavin?
That is correct, yeah. We're recording this right about an hour and a half before I go see the movie, but yeah, bonus episode, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, over on patreon.com/ They're Coming to Get You.
All right, you want to jump into Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, now we're talking about the Dawn of the Dead remake from 2004, and I love this movie. I remember the first time I watched it, I watched an illegally downloaded copy that my dad got from work from a guy he knew.
And was this a guy like, hey, if you want a movie, you go to Rick.
Yes.
This
guy had a pay-per-view descrambler, so I got all the WWF pay-per-views on VHS tape the next day. Mm-hmm. He recorded it for me. He had all the bootleg movies, so I watched this movie for the first time as a camcorder version that was recorded in a theater with audience reactions.
Now, how was the quality of it? Because obviously it's on a camcorder, but it's a screen of a screen is what you're watching. You know?
It was in the year 2004, so not great.
In the year 2000.
Yeah, it was not the best quality. It wasn't like the 4K you can get on your phone now. This was like high 8, so it was not great. But I did absolutely love this movie. I eventually did go buy it on DVD. And one of my favorite zombie movies, probably. An absolute classic. I still think it is director Zack Snyder's best thing he's ever done. I love it.
Yeah, I'd have to look at his catalog, but I would say probably the best thing he's done. And it was written by James Gunn, right?
Yeah. So Zack Snyder, he did a lot of the DC Universe stuff. He did Batman v Superman. He's done Watchmen. He also did Sucker Punch. And I think he just had one come out not that long ago on Netflix that I can't think of right now. I think it's like Blood Moon or something Moon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love this movie. I love James Gunn, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy, Slither, all kinds of great stuff James Gunn has done. And this is just the perfect zombie movie from start to finish.
And I was wondering before we turn the mics on here, so I had to give it a Google. So this came out in 2004. With Fast Zombies, but this, we'll have to put it in scope. 28 Days Later came out in 2002, also with Fast Zombies. I know they were infected with rage, but let's call them what they are, Gavin.
You know, I feel like that, yeah, because there is that very, actually, they were actually rage infected, but they were they were basically zombies. They may not have been undead, but they were the first to really show an undead-like person running up on your ass.
Yeah, and I'm maybe there were faster ones. Even in Return of the Living Dead, those zombies are fast.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, because you remember in, like, 2000 to 2000 whatever, man, zombies, it was like how there was a vampire renaissance. There was just zombie everything.
Yes.
And I was all for it. I saw, you know, 28 Days Later, I saw Dawn of the Dead in the theater. I was there for everything zombies when it came out.
Yeah, this was the time when, like, Shaun of the Dead came out, Land of the Dead came out, 28 Days Later, like you said. So zombies were really ramping up. I feel like it really hit the high mark around 2010 with The Walking Dead. That's what took it to the next level. But this was the ramp-up period for sure with this. And this actually got a sequel that I did not know about.
Because, I didn't know it. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Yeah, so this Dawn of the Dead remake actually has a Day of the Dead remake also, and Ving Rhames plays the same character from Dawn of the Dead in that Day of the Dead movie.
Oh, is that one any good?
I have not seen it. I did not have time to watch it, but it did go direct to DVD, so take that as you will.
Is that Day of the Dead Bloodline?
No, that was a sequel to this remake, I believe, or it may have been a standalone. Day of the Dead has a couple different sequels, from what I can tell. It's not...
2008, so we have Mina Servari, Nick Cannon, Ving Rhames is in it, and let me see the rating here on... It's got a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, and it's got a 4.5 over on... It's got a good old 4.5 over on IMDb. So yeah, not the most loved of the franchise. There's more Dead movies than I thought there were, because George A. Romero, he just kept making them without...
Diary of the Dead. That was one of his. There's Land of the Dead, and then there was a third one that Romero did. A. Romero, by the way.
Sorry. I didn't want to be like, George Romero. No, A. Romero.
This guy's my neighbor. George Romero's my neighbor.
But do you remember the first time that you saw this movie?
Yeah. It was just in the theater when it came out, and at the time I didn't even know it was a remake. I just thought it was, it's a zombie movie. Mm-hmm. But I loved the movie from the first time I saw it. And there's plenty of oh shit moments in this movie.
Yes. Now, did you watch this one before you watched the original?
Yes. Because at first when I watched the original, I was like, this is slow. You know?
Yeah. And we actually covered the original Dawn of the Dead way back on season one. I think it was like our third episode that we did on this podcast. So go back and listen, and hopefully you can tell how much we've grown as comedians, as podcasters, and I think as people from then to now.
I started to give to charity ever since I'd done this podcast. I adopted several kittens, etc.
But yeah, when you watch this one, it's just balls to the wall, high octane action. And then you go back to the original and you're like, this is a much more subdued, subtle social commentary on consumerism.
Yeah, and would you say for this one that there's any social commentary? I wasn't watching this one for that. And maybe there is some stuff in here, but I don't know.
I wasn't either. I think it's still kind of... I don't think they do the social commentary as much as the original. With the Night of the Living Dead remake, they replace the race politics with the gender politics, which we talked about last week on our Night of the Living Dead episode. This one just is like... What if we just made a straightforward, fun action zombie movie in a mall?
Yeah, not one person's like, why are they coming here? You know, when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. That's not really any commentary. That's just a cool line. But
when there's no more room in hell, the dead will go to Macy's for their Thanksgiving Day sale.
Build-A-Bear. Did you catch any of the stores in here? Because I watched this movie in two parts, as I do as an adult now, is start it and then other things happen. Did you catch any of the stores in this movie? When there's a movie in a mall, I love to see what stores are currently in the mall during the time of the movie.
I was not paying attention to that, but did you notice some stores?
I know there was the baby store that they're in, but I don't think I didn't really watch it close enough the second time when they finally went to the mall. But I love to see the stores, because I feel like some of the stores weren't even real stores in this. They were just kind of changed the name when you the storefront. There was a sporting goods store. I wrote that down, and I'll find it.
Okay.
But yeah, I love a good mall movie. I can see what stores were in there now, because Now it would be like half of the mall would be a Dave and Buster's, you know?
So in Cincinnati, when I was there for a Horror Hound, me and my buddy Dan were driving through. And do you know there's just a mall in Cincinnati that's just like a really famous dead mall?
No.
Yeah. It's like the Cincinnati Mall that they started building it and it just like never got finished. It just sits abandoned. It's a huge fucking mall that just nobody goes to because it's abandoned.
I do love those where you like will scroll on TikTok or Instagram and it's like, I broke into this mall. And it's a guy with a body cam walking around.
Yeah.
And they're shut down malls and stuff like that.
I like it when they call it urban exploring. They're like, I'm an urban explorer. It's like, you're just breaking and entering.
That's what you're doing. But I appreciate the content nonetheless.
Yeah.
You know?
I saw somebody break into, everybody has to call it, I saw somebody break into an old Chuck E. Cheese. And they're like, oh, look at this. This is, it's one of those games. I was like, well, what do you expect to find? It's a fucking old Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, it's not, like, that'd be weird if that was an old church, you know?
We broke into the Sistine Chapel. Why is there a skee ball here?
Yeah, and then, like, that would be creepy if that, the band, they still had the band in the old Chuck E. Cheeses,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because I would love to see those animatronics, and it would turn either into Five Nights at Freddy's, or the other movie with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah. I didn't even finish Five Nights at Freddy's. Not that it was bad. Again, just things happened.
Did you
but
know
if
that
Nicolas Cage was in that Chuck E. Cheese, I'd lose my shit.
Do you know that Chuck E. Cheese, when they go out of business or move locations, they have like direct orders to destroy the animatronics?
That's so crazy. But people would rig them up and make them do stuff. Like you make them, I wanna lick you from your head to somebody would rig up a Chuck E. Cheese thing to sing songs.
There's a very famous YouTube video where somebody did buy like the Munch's Explosion Band from like a showbiz and mm-hmm. had them sing Usher's Love in the Club. it's an incredible.
See, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they really have, like, and they program it to, like, sing it perfectly. Like, all the characters come in. One of the, I think one of the characters had, like, a ventriloquist, and that's the one that comes in for the rap break during it. It's absolutely incredible. I highly recommend Chuck E. Cheese, Love in the Club. Look it up and just have the best day of your life.
So they say you have to destroy all the stuff.
Yes. I think it's because they don't want somebody, like, stealing it, or also, I think it's because they don't want it to come to life, most likely.
Yeah, you got
to
put them down, because what do they know that we don't? That's what I'm saying.
You got to shoot them in the head.
Double tap.
My niece's birthday party was ruined when they brought out Chucky and executed him gangland style.
Hey, but my brother, thanks for bringing him up, worked at a Chuck E. Cheese for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the stories I remember him telling me is like they just, I don't know who did it, but this guy dumped a whole pitcher of Pepsi on a girl and she started crying like another worker.
Wait,
like what an asshole thing to do.
Wait, dumped a pitcher on a child?
No, like another worker.
Oh, okay. God, and then, the office politics of working in a Chuck E. Cheese sound terrible.
It they're working for tokens. Back when they were tokens and not the card. But can you imagine having to wear one of those suits? Stinky ass.
I think I had to wear a suit for something. I can't remember what it was, but I've worn a mascot suit before. They're not great.
Well, I know you're a secret furry, and that's the first we're talking about it on the program.
Yeah, you know me. I've got my fur suit. I've got my fursona. I'm a scaly, Brent. I'm a scaly, remember?
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but no.
You were at that thing.
I actually heard somebody the other night had referenced scalies. And it's like that frequency phenomenon where you learn about something and then you see it everywhere. So I guess scalies are just everywhere and my eyes weren't opened yet.
It's like I just bought an orange PT Cruiser. Now I see them everywhere.
Did
That's
you buy
not
an
true,
orange?
But no.
I was like, what? I thought you were doing better than that.
No. Things took a turn for the worse. So Dawn of the Dead, we have to talk about this opening because Gavin, you and I did a two-parter on the Field Trip podcast with Brent Terhune.
Mm-hmm.
The subject was best openings, movie openings. And I think we talked about this one on that. And if we didn't, we're pretty stupid.
Yeah. I was thinking that
11 minutes, baby, of just action.
It's not, When I think of the greatest opening, it has to come out the gate doing stuff. This takes a little bit of going because for the first for the first 5 minutes though, it's just a nurse existing
in a hospital.
And being a nurse and like that's just it. Be like, yeah, these politics of the ER. Oh, yeah. We need to treat nurses better. And you know what? I'm gonna say it. We should treat nurses better.
Oh, that's a bold statement. Let's see how it plays out, Cotton.
But then once you get past like, oh, that person's in ICU because of a bite wound, then she goes home and they have date night with her husband, which I wrote a note here that said, they start date night with shower sex.
Well, the grossest thing in the movie happens right at the beginning is when she crawls into that bed with those dirty ass scrubs.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, oh, girl, you got to shower first. We don't know if you've been elbow deep in viscous fluids or what you're doing.
Literal piss and shit and blood and maybe the C word and not the other one, but another gross one. Like, she just crawls into bed with these scrubs on. And, like, what if you didn't have, like, a dirty job like a nurse? Mm-mm. Sure. Crawl in your own bed in your street clothes if you want to be gross. But she just crawls in, and that's the grossest thing that happens. And then he lays some pipe in the shower. My man.
That's that's how you end date night. Like, they're like, and Miss Date Night? And it's like, is that all you're doing tonight? Is fucking in the shower? Because shower sex is not my favorite. I don't love it. I feel like
you
I can't.
Seem to enjoy it when we were together. Shower sex is one of you may end up in the ER.
Yeah.
It's already hard enough to stand on this slippery surface by myself.
And as you and I both get older, it's kind of embarrassing to like have to put down the non-slip stuff that the elderly have to have just so you can lay some pipe in the shower.
I think you should just have that regardless. What I need handrails everywhere. That's just safety. But like, they're banging in the shower, and it's one person's getting all the hot water, the other person, you know, I'm just staying in there.
I wanted to turn into an urban comic for a second and be like, you ever be hitting a girl from the side when you got in the shower and you got your hand on the handrail? You get that good.
You know, you clapping them cheeks.
You know when you clapping them cheeks and she's like, give me that herbal essence. I'm like, God, they ain't got no goddamn time for herbal essence.
They do the shower sex. And first, we also get the foreshadowing of the little girl on skates in the street. And then we see her pretty quickly because they wake up at 6:37 in the morning with this girl standing in the house. Look, man, I don't know. Do you lock your doors at night, Gavin?
100%. Stephanie doesn't. She'll forget. I'll come home from work and the door's wide ass open. And she's in the house taking a nap. And I probably shouldn't broadcast that to anybody. But
what's your address?
123 Fake Street.
Damn. Do we live in the same place?
But I'm like, what are you doing? Close the door. And she's like, it's fine. Like, no. Have you not watched the news ever?
You know, back when I was a kid, we could just leave the doors wide open.
People changed. You
know, they killed my family, but we could just leave them open.
Like, I'm not a vampire. I invited them in.
I'm not paranoid about somebody breaking into my house. I'm just saying, I came in the door. Let me just turn the little thing. So now it's locked. And to have like a little girl just standing in the hallway when I wake up, I know it's the neighbor kid, but also, I don't want you in my house.
Yeah. Regardless if she's a zombie or not, that don't look good when the neighbor's child's in your bedroom. Like, that does not, like, optics are not great for that.
No, and then she walks into the light and she's bitten somebody, I think. You know, she's a zombie, clearly. She bites his throat.
Yeah, she gets, like, and that's what establishes this movie as, like, really brutal, a lot of great practical effect. She takes a big old chomp out of his neck, and it sets the tone for the rest of this movie, just how balls to the wall graphic it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And I just, we're just having dinner, and I put the movie on right before we started recording the podcast just to, I don't know, refresh it.
Mm-hmm.
And producer wife said something interesting because her husband dies and turns quickly. But then we'll see later in the movie that some people will get bit and then not turn quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I she made the point of he turned so quickly because the bite was what caused him to die.
Mm, yeah.
So like the other people, if you just got bit on your arm, you're not going to die from that. But he turned so quickly because the bite killed him. And then that's why he came back. Cause that would be an inconsistency in this movie, but I don't, I'm not trying to figure out the science of a zombie. It doesn't really matter how we got there. We just have to get there, you know?
Yeah, but then you have this is when the best opening happens. Once he gets bit and he turns and starts trying to fight her in the bathroom and they're fighting mm-hmm. the little girl as well, that's when it becomes like a balls-to-the-wall amazing opening sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think that part of this, why it's such a good opening and better than you think it is because if it just cut off with the gas station exploding at the end, that could be a short film within itself.
Yeah. That's a really... I forgot about the gas station exploding. That was a lot. I don't know if I could keep driving if a gas station just explodes.
And well, my luck, I'd just be on E. Well, I guess I'm not getting gas there.
Guess I'm going to the next one. The most realistic... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go.
The most realistic part of this, though, is as she gets in the car and is driving through the neighborhood after her husband, like, fights the, like, busts the windshield. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
horrifying. My favorite is all the nosy-ass neighbors just out in the street, like, what's going on out here? What's going on? What's yeah. going on?
You see fires and people getting attacked, but let me just walk around in my robe.
I'm at least going to peek out the blinds first before I go out there and be like, I don't need to know that much.
No, yeah, I would. I tend to keep to myself anyway, so I'll look through the blinds and see shit's not going well, and then I'll just go back to my stories.
Mm-hmm. Then I also love the dude that's like, Anna, stay back, and he gets fucking plowed down by an ambulance.
Yeah, like it's just because you get to, they show the neighborhood when she pulls in, and it's like a nice neighborhood. It looks mm-hmm. clean, and then it's just people getting attacked. Like just all the carnage kind of would be fun to drive through, I think, a little bit, as long as you could kind of guarantee that nothing bad was going to happen.
You just want to drift your Corolla through everything?
Yeah, my orange PT Cruiser.
You're downshift hitting the NOS?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I live my life a quarter pounder at a time,
I love, though, that the nosy neighbors are just there. And I love that Sarah Polley is the lead of this movie. She's gone on to win, like, an Oscar now. Like, she does a lot of directing and writing now. Mm-hmm. But she's a great lead as Anna.
Yeah, because I said, how do I know this late besides this movie?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't really know what else I've known her from. She's My Life Without Me, I'm looking. The Sweet Hereafter. Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're watching. What is,
yeah, she's she's Canadian. Don't like that.
Yeah, all of our Canadian Patreon subscribers right now are like, "Well, we're gonna take our half of the value of your money back. Thank you very much."
Hey, buddy, what's this about?
I'm gonna use this money to buy overpriced books because everything's more expensive up here in Canada.
I just sponsored the Jurassic Park podcast.
Damn it, Jurassic Park podcast.
Clever girls. Clever Barbaras.
Sarah Polley won an Oscar, though, for Best Adapted Screenplay for Women Talking.
Oh, yeah.
Women Talking.
You mean My Life?
Am I right? We could have just called that My Mother-in-Law. Am I right, ladies? Am I right, birds? Am I right?
Sorry, Robin. I love you. So we get this opening of just her driving around this carnage. Even I think the bus driver tries to steal her car, and then gas station explodes, and then she runs down the embankment, and that's how the movie starts.
Mm-hmm. It's a hot opening. Then you have like kind of the smooth kind of jazzy opening that's real fun. this is not the new metal. This is not the new metal vehicle you think it might be. It actually has a very good soundtrack.
It does. The music is very good in this movie, because then we also get the Johnny Cash when the man comes around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that what opens the movie?
Yeah. It's like it's kind of a montage of. Well, I think that's at the beginning.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I said a smooth jazzy open. You know, a smooth jazzy open like Johnny Cash.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Now, we get Mekhi Phifer, Jake Weber, Ving Rhames. Jake Weber, I don't know what. I only know him from this movie. He's the male.
He plays Michael. I kept calling him Tamu Hugh Jackman. He's very Hugh Jackman, but not quite Hugh Jackman.
Nobody's Wolverine, Gavin.
No. Well, we're gonna find out soon with these new Marvel reboots. Am I right, everybody? Am I right, nerds? You hear about this?
You heard about this? But we get that. This is where I heard the song is when the man comes around, because Johnny Cash has always been hot, but he had those American recordings with Rick Rubin, so he's doing Hurt. Mm-hmm. He's doing, you know, recording some originals like When the Man Comes Around. But it was like cool as a kid to listen to Johnny Cash and have it not be like when the classic country hits, which aren't terrible, but I don't think a kid's going to listen to that the same way he'll listen to When the Man Comes Around.
or my personal favorite when I'm going through a tough time, Hurt. I think more people associate Johnny Cash with Hurt than they associate Nine Inch Nails with it at this point.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
There's no mistaking.
And the Nine Inch Nails version is fine, but Johnny Cash has really brought, like, the pain and sadness to that song.
Yeah, well, he's also just an old guy. If you see the video, you're like, well, he ain't long for this world.
Yeah,
you know?
And then he died shortly after.
At least, I think, a few years, but... It's that song paired with the imagery of people, you know, all the carnage and the zombies and stuff like that. Just a really great opening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to just talk about the music in general?
Yeah. It's got a lot of really good music. One of the most iconic parts is the really, like, lounge version of Down With The Sickness by Disturbed during
Richard
a montage.
Richard Cheese.
Is that Richard? I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Old Dick Cheese.
Oh, okay.
He's Richard Cheese is famous for doing lounge versions of popular songs.
Yeah.
He follows me on Twitter, so what's up? He's done My Neck, My Back, Down With The Sickness, Welcome to the Jungle, Closer. So there's at Nine Inch Nails, Gin and Juice, but he does lounge versions of these songs.
Yeah, I really like the Down With The Sickness lounge version, and it really gives a fun feel to the montage after all the survivors are kind of like bonding together, just hanging out. They're like, well, we have to be at the mall for a long time. We might as well like make the best of it. And then we can watch Phil Dunphy go to town and just rail a hot blonde lady in a Circuit City.
As Ving Rhames would put it, we have the skeets.
It's got a lot of fun stuff.
The montage of you see the two young kids kind of falling in love. We see the older guy trying on women's clothes.
Yeah.
Whatever floats your boat, dog.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Live your truth.
It's like a great, and then they're talking back and forth with the guy at the gun store. Ted Nugent is what I like to call him. But it's we get Down With The Sickness, and then later at the end of the movie we get the real version, which is one of my favorite memes. Because Gavin, you know Down With The Sickness. Are you a Disturbed fan?
I am.
Are you talking about? There's one of my favorite memes, because in that the middle of the song, the singer goes, "No, mommy, don't do it again. I'll be a good boy." Like he's getting hit, and then one of my favorite memes is. You guys remember when the guy was recording that song and his mom came in the studio and started beating his ass?
No, please, I'll be good. That's
please,
kinda,
mommy.
It's not in a lot of the radio versions, because why would it be? But Yeah, it's such a weird interlude for a song to just like, oh, he's getting the shit kicked out of him by his mom right now.
Yeah, that's like as if a metal fan, that's the part you don't want to hear your normie friends to hear, you know? Like, yeah, I could kind of get with this, you know, with the sickness, I guess, but then he starts getting his ass beat mid-song, and I'm like, what is this?
That's the part they cut out of, like, every video game montage or Dragon Ball Z video that you made on YouTube back in the day. You can't just have, like, Vegeta fighting Boo and, like, down with the sickness, and then he's just, like, fighting, like, somebody, and they're like, no, mommy, please don't. And you're like, no, this doesn't
work.
It doesn't work well.
And it was Chi-Chi making Gohan do homework. Which is a Dragon Ball Z reference.
See, Chi-Chi is Goku's wife and Gohan's her son.
See, that wasn't a wrestling reference.
We're trying to do better. We'll go to something even more obscure and nerdy.
But we like, so she goes to the car crash, and then we meet Mekhi Phifer and his Prego girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We meet Hugh Jackman and then Ving Rhames.
Yeah. Mekhi Phifer actually just came from rap battling Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's true. He's from Detroit. And then you know, that's pretty close to Milwaukee where this takes place, I think.
Yeah, I didn't know it took place next to Milwaukee.
No, because, you know, you would think it'd be Pittsburgh, of course.
Yeah. But... Have you been to Milwaukee?
Yeah. The city?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just took a picture with the bronze Fonz.
Oh, that's right. I've driven through Milwaukee. I've done a lot of other stuff in, like, southern Wisconsin, but I've never been to Milwaukee, mm-hmm. like, proper.
Yeah, it's fine. I've always, my review is cold as fuck. So,
and that's
come to Milwaukee.
And that's, like, coldest temperature, not like when you watch, like, somebody get shot on the street, you're like, that was cold as fuck.
No, I meant that one. No, it's fine city. I don't have any complaints about it. But it takes place in Milwaukee, and we meet kind of our core group before we get the other people coming in, and they see the mall and just the zombies walking around. And then we have to address also just the fast zombies.
Yes.
Like, I think most people would be like, hey, if it's the slow zombies, we might have a chance here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Fast ones, I think we're done for.
Yeah, do you have a preference for slow or fast zombies?
I want you to start out slow and then speed it up.
Really, you know, just really, really just go with the flow, baby. Just, you know, when I go fast, you go slow. When you go slow, I go fast.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Like in the shower. I wear a life alert in the shower.
I like my zombies to put your hand up on your hip when you dip, we dip, we dip.
When I bite, you bite, we bite. Yeah, I don't know. It depends, because The Walking Dead, that you can do so much with the slow ones,
mm-hmm.
but it just adds a new element to everything when they're fast.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think at least horror fans, most people in general, we always like when the shit hits the fan, when the zombies come. That's like everybody's doomsday scenario. And producer wife's always like, she'll say, when the zombies come, we're just going to take two bullets and call it a day. And I say, who's we? On several occasions, she's like, I'm out. I'm like, well, are they fast or slow, zombies?
I'm afraid producer wife's going to just kill you and just shoot you and be like, I thought I saw zombies. I saw my neighbor.
I've seen them.
I heard my neighbor coughing real loud. I'm like, well, this is it.
I'm just saying, if something happens to me, it was her or Boeing.
Boeing let zombies fly planes. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably shouldn't say that on the air. I probably shouldn't say that.
There's a guy behind you.
Oh, no. I think I'm going to go shoot myself in the back of the head now.
But it's like fast zombies. Most of us aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
Most people, how long can you sprint for, Gavin?
I've done 5Ks. I ran one half marathon. It was terrible, but I was a much younger man about 6 years ago. I start every 5K, like, I can do, a 5K is 3.1 miles, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I start off really, I'm like, yeah, I got this. And then about a quarter of a mile later, I'm like, oh, I'm asthmatic and it's cold and the cold air in my lungs now, and now I'm going to die. And now, well, I don't want to walk already because everybody saw me just really take off really fast. So they're going to think that I already spent my load.
Yeah, shot your wad. Yeah. It's like with fast zombies, I think it just, it's, there's no chance unless you have the firepower like these guys do with the guns.
Yeah, I think I could survive a fast zombie who also has asthma. Who needs to stop and take a puff?
Like if I turned into a zombie, I'd be a fast one, but not as fast as the rest of the other zombies. Wait up.
You're like the zombie that's running the mile in school that everybody has to like come and run with you at the end to encourage you to finish.
Come on, you can do it.
You got
the king of the 13-minute mile, baby.
That's a record. King. It's a record in the wrong direction, but it's a record.
Yeah, we never had somebody have to walk into the other class. Like the other class came in and started their mile, and he's still going.
I was always bad because I did have asthma. I was always bad running the mile. I was always the slowest until I switched schools, and there was somebody who was slower than me, and I was like, thank God, finally get the heat off of me.
Now, I'm not the turd in the punch bowl. Yeah. This guy is.
It's like, oh, God, because if anybody has ever been the last person running the mile, you know that you are holding up everybody else's day.
We get to play basketball after this, but we just got to wait on Gavin.
We got lunch coming up. We want to play dodgeball and talk to girls. But no, Gavin's only on lap 4 of 8.
Yeah, so the fast ones, man, I think... And that's like a new element to zombies. Like I said, we talked about fast ones, but it's just a new element to the movie because there's always the human drama of somebody trying to take your shit. They want to take your guns. They want to hurt you. They want your weemen, you know? So then there's fast ones with any other like slow zombie movie. Like we had last week with the Night of the Living Dead remake, you can walk around them.
Yeah.
There's no walking around these.
You just kind of, oh, I'm going to scoot right by you. Just kind of, oh.
Yeah. Whoop. Yeah.
you can get by them. But the fast zombies are definitely scarier for me. I don't want fast zombies. And I think zombies should be fast. I think they should. There's no reason for them not to be. There's an argument about like, well, they should be slow because they're undead. If they're undead, they should have no reluctance to just full out fucking going for it.
But then they'd be decomposing. Their stuff would fall off.
But you know what? It's better to burn out than fade away.
Thank you, Kurt Cobain. I think I saw him quoted as that meme.
Mm-hmm.
They get into the mall, and pretty quickly they run into the mall cops who somehow have guns.
Yeah, you know, mall cops are always armed to the teeth.
Mm-hmm. And also the guys you want running things.
Because Kenneth Ving Rhames, he's an actual like police officer, it looks like. He's like an actual captain or something. And they're like, no, we're going to bow down to the security at the mall.
Yeah, we know where we run shit from Sbarro to Things Remembered to Hot Topic. This is our domain.
I'm building a fort out of Funko Pops. Nobody comes past my fort of Funko Pops, and we won't have no trouble.
I'll just say it now. My favorite line of the whole movie that I mentioned last week, and I was going to tell you, is when they're trying to get everybody to help out, and Ving Rhames is like, fuck y'all. It makes me laugh so, like, every time. Fuck y'all.
If I am ever in a zombie apocalypse, and somebody looks like Ving Rhames is there, I'm putting him in charge. I don't care who has guns. If Ving Rhames is there, Ving Rhames is now in charge.
Yeah, I think he's the guy in charge, or it's a great value, Hugh Jackman, maybe.
Yeah,
at least somebody with a level head, not these security guards who seem a little like you shouldn't want to have a position of authority. If you're too eager to want that job, I don't want you to have that job.
Yeah. I love the conversation, though, between these guys. They're like, man, you know that chick from Dairy Queen, the fat one? Yeah, I thought I was going to tap that. You don't want the guy who's really mourning the loss of the fat chick from Dairy Queen to be in charge of a group of people.
Yeah, but there goes the free diddly bars and I really miss her, man.
There's nothing wrong if you're a bigger girl at a Dairy Queen. There's nothing wrong with that, but yeah. Maybe
where all my fat chicks at work at Dairy Queen at? That's what I want to know.
Where my BBWDQs at?
Post your address in the comments.
I want to hit you up, BBWDQ.
BRB, getting my D asked at the DQ by BBW.
So many acronyms. I hope that takes off on TikTok.
Yeah, she's going to get me an ice cream cake.
I'll make her scream for ice cream, am I right? You know what I'm talking about, fellas?
Her scream for my... Okay.
I'm going to put her in the shower. I'm going to grab that handrail, and we got to do it.
Hit the life alert, baby. I'm cramping up.
Ain't nobody slipping in here.
Yeah, so I'm really torn up about the fat girl at there.
It brought R. up a lot of...
I tried to pour
triggering.
A blizzard out for her, but it doesn't turn.
Man, she think it's that blizzard. You turn her upside down, she ain't falling out. She ain't falling out, yo.
the guys with the guns. And the main guy is Doug from House of Cards.
Yeah. There's a lot of names in this who would go on to do other things. We talked about Ty Burrell earlier. He went on to play Phil Dunphy on Modern Family for a bunch of years. Mm-hmm. He's like that stereotypical like asshole guy who doesn't care about anything but himself. And I like that he's consistent throughout.
He played, because this is the first time I saw him, was this character, and then I saw Modern Family years later, and I was like, oh, Dawn of the Dead. Yeah. You know, like, and he's not an asshole. He's a funny goof. Like,
yeah, he's a really good actor.
Contrast. Yeah, because like, you hate this guy. He is, what's his name, Cooper from Night of the Living Dead. He's the guy that you hate. The guy that goes up in the attic.
Yeah,
he's
Harry
that
Cooper.
Guy for this movie, you know?
Yes. But he got that riz though, because he manages to hit on that one girl and like
I think it's implied that she does that to everybody.
Ah, yes. Very, very good. Well, you know what? It's a zombie apocalypse. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I see The Walking Dead outside my window, I'm trying to catch a nut. Because we don't have long on this earth, Gavin.
We also get a cameo from Grumpy Tom Savini.
What is he? Oh, he's like on the news broadcast, right?
Yeah, he's in the news broadcast. And then you also have Ken Foree, who plays the preacher on TV as well.
Yeah. Doesn't he say when the dead will walk the earth?
Yes, he says that power line.
And then Michael Kelly is the guy from House of Cards, CJ, who is like you see his picture now. He's a lot younger, but he's so ripped in this movie compared to how he is in House of Cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his character in House of Cards is like, oh, so smarmy. He's like, he's basically like the fixer on House of Cards.
Yeah, and then he's just an asshole security guard in this one.
But he ends up sacrificing himself for the greater good. He has a good arc.
Yeah, he does. He gets redemption.
Yes, I do want to say... one thing I noticed about this movie and movies around this time period, maybe you noticed it. I haven't put this over on Twitter. Why was everything from like 2003 to like 2011 just the most green movie they could make? Everything had like a green tint to it for like a decade.
Because didn't you say The Ring was that way?
The Ring
what
was
were your
green.
Examples?
The Ring was green. Saw was the greenest movie. You think it's fucking St. Patrick's Day for Jigsaw every movie. Mm-hmm. Hostel was green. And then this is green. And then there's a bunch of other ones also. It seemed like that green tint was very much the style. I watched all the Underworld movies too. Underworld are like the most grayish blue movies.
Dark, yeah.
Yeah. So
Green Lantern came out in 2011.
Yeah, Green Lantern, very green movie. Yeah, very good.
I don't know. Maybe it was just something like everybody's using the same lenses or the same technology where it looks green. Because I think in the 80s you had a lot of dark blues in the movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was very much horror's green period.
Yeah, it was. And I don't know what that says about. I don't know if that has to say anything about anything. You know?
No, I just noticed it. I thought it was interesting to be like everything was really green for like a decade.
I do I wish when they were doing those TV interviews, not one zombie turned to the camera and said, "Fuck a rat in a pussy." Do you know that guy that does videos?
Oh yeah, everybody knows about that guy, internet fans. Yeah.
I don't know what all this is, but I just want to say one thing. Fuck a rat in the pussy.
One thing that I know for sure, I don't know how I'd react in the zombie apocalypse. I don't know how I would handle things. One thing I do know for sure, if you have to wheelbarrow somebody in, you gotta take that outside. I'm sorry, I know she's a human being, but she is essentially Henrietta from Evil Dead 2, just decomposing everywhere. You gotta take her out somewhere.
She reminds me of the mom from What's Eating Gilbert Grape. It's not a compliment, but no. It's a big lady.
Yeah. Would you rather just be left outside, or do you want to be wheeled around? Because I feel like being wheeled around in a wheelbarrow is much worse than just being left to be eaten by zombies.
I'd rather be the most inconvenient thing possible. So I want you to get a something from the hardware store to wheel my ass around. Do you think that lady was the lady that worked at Dairy Queen?
That's her. Yeah, he's like, oh shit, you brought her to me.
She's just like she's a bigger lady, and she's in a wheelbarrow. Is she any relation to anybody?
No, I think she was. I think they said no. Or there's like, we found this lady in a wheelbarrow. Which even I don't want to seem like cold hearted, but if I don't know you, I'm not gonna wheelbarrow you around.
Yeah, and unless you're my family, I'm not going to wheel you around with fast zombies.
Yeah. Now, could she... I know that we've talked a lot on this, how we keep giving the most annoying character to people in wheelchairs by accident. Purely coincidental accident. Does this count as a wheelchair if you wheelbarrow her around?
I think so.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. She's annoying. No.
as she breathes heavy and decomposes.
Because pretty quickly after that, you get her dying, like she can't breathe, and then you get a literal oh shit moment in the theater when this lady starts running.
Yeah, because she ain't run for a while.
No, and like that was in the theater, I was like, oh shit, she's running, you know, like
she kips up, like she basically just kips
like
up.
Like Shawn Michaels.
I'm like, I'm trying not to wrestling reference. I'm trying so hard. But she kips up like Shawn Michaels, tunes up the band, and then super kicks Mekhi Phifer. But she runs full force, and then Anna has to like hit her in the eye with like a fire poker.
Yeah, but that was just like one of those scenes where you wouldn't think this lady would just be running at full sprint as a zombie, you know?
That's what makes running zombies scarier. Because anybody, any shape, any size, can be coming at you full force now because they ain't got nothing to hold them back.
No, they're infected with the rage.
They got the
Michael,
rage.
The rage.
The rage carry too.
Yeah, so we get that. And I guess we can also, you know, we had the other survivors come in on a truck. They're being chased around by the zombies in the parking lot. So we get like, there's like the stereotypical redneck guy who dies in the sewer.
He dual wields though. He dual wields.
Yeah. He's, and he's like, once he's getting attacked, he says, shoot me.
Yeah. Real badass way to go out. Like you dual wield and then you say, shoot me in the head.
Shoot me. We get like the older lady that smokes all the time. We get Ty Burrell. It's a fun way to introduce other characters because I think that's part of Dawn of the Dead, the original. There are three characters, so it's hard to do a lot with three characters.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I want to talk, my favorite part about this movie and what I love is I love the practical effects. There's no CGI blood from what I can tell. Everything is practical effects. I remember watching this on DVD and watching like behind the scenes stuff. It is all practical effects. All the head explosions are just so nice and just, It is a visceral, gory, fun time, and I love it.
That's when I said watching this movie. I said this movie's fun.
Yeah, because you have scenes where, yeah, if you're trapped in the mall with somebody and you're friends with like a gunslinger owner, eventually you will just start playing chess on the roof, or you will have them kill celebrities.
Yeah, celebrity zombie shoot. I mean, the guy. If the gun store wasn't there, I'd say save your ammo. But this dude lives in a gun store for this movie, you know?
Yeah, so I love seeing, like, Jay Leno's head explode.
Hey, you see this? You heard about this, folks?
You know what? I got something going through my mind. It's called a bullet.
Hey, he's Kevin Eubanks in the Tonight Show band.
Oh, shit, Jay. you've got the Burt Reynolds, and I'm sad they didn't show Rosie O'Donnell. I wanted to see what they got made up for zombie Rosie O'Donnell, and they didn't show it.
You know, like, if it was a big enough movie, I feel like they could have gotten some of these people to play themselves as zombies.
But then there's too many questions. Why was Jay Leno in Milwaukee?
Well, you make it as, oh, it's the Jay Leno zombie, but it's not the real Jay Leno.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell the Jay Leno zombie because he's in like a weird car with big ass wheels and you got to crank the front of it or some shit. And he's got goggles on. Hey, you know, I don't spend any of my Tonight Show money. I just spend all my stand-up money. And then they would have been going to shoot the Conan zombie, but then Jay would have jumped in front of him.
Got him. Fuck you, Jay Leno. Conan's always been better. Do you think... What I always think about is when we grew up watching movies, they'd reference older things. We'd be like, we don't get it. Does it make you sad that people might not get a Jay Leno reference or a Rosie O'Donnell reference or a Burt Reynolds reference now?
I just think it's the way it is. And that's part of, like... I think part of that movie, that's the comedy part. And I think comedy ages the worst out of the arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just the way it is. But also, I think if you're any sort of intelligent viewer, you understand, oh, they think that guy looks like the guy they're saying he is. You know,
yeah.
Like some shit you're just not going to get, you know?
I think we should go back in every few years and fix comedy. We go back in and we redub it where they take out, like, Jay Leno. And they're like, oh, my God, shoot, Olivia Rodrigo. And be like, what? Huh?
I think we should save it for the pedophiles. Get the R. Kelly zombie.
Yeah, and Diddy. And get Diddy in there now.
Get the Harvey Weinstein zombie.
Yeah,
and
let's
I want to be clear, I'm not saying Harvey Weinstein is a pedophile.
Yes.
I'm saying he's a rapist. I want to clarify that.
I want to clarify what kind of piece of shit he actually is. Not what a... Yeah, yeah. Let's clear it up for the folks at home.
But I think it would be fun, especially like when The Walking Dead was still on, just the first iteration, to, like, it'd be a fun game every week to see a celebrity zombie lookalike, where, like, even you had to, like, call or text in or something and say you found the zombie. You'd have to screenshot it, and then you could win a prize when you found... It's the Where's Waldo of zombies, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it'd be fun to do. I think it's fun. And that's what sets us apart from the original. The original is a fun movie, but it's not this fun. Like, there's never a part in this... Well, there is. Now that I say this, let's talk. So you remember that abortion subplot we had in the original Dawn of the Dead? Where Ken Free's like, I can do it if you want me to. And it's like, whoa, 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 calm. Nobody's asking you to do that, buddy.
I'll do it.
pull
your britches down.
I almost said, like, there's no abortion thing in this. And then there was.
There wasn't. It's not an abortion. She carried it to term.
You're right. You're right. It was a full bore. So there's a subplot with Mekhi Phifer's character and his wife, Luda. And if you are in a zombie apocalypse and the two married, like the married people are just like out, like off to their own.
Sequestered.
And you sequestered for the upcoming trial. If they're just sequestered and you don't see the wife for a while, she's been bitten and he's clearly hiding her.
It's one of the, again, I'll say it was the first time they did it. I've not seen every zombie movie, so I can't say they had a zombie baby in other movies. But this was another oh shit moment.
Yeah.
For me in the theater. Because you've seen a lot of different zombie variations. But to see the zombie baby, just it's quick. You don't even get a lot of the, you just know what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for her to like be all struggling on bed and tied down and like the blood just shoots out of her vagina.
Yeah.
And I don't know a lot about vaginas except for how to please them. Am I right? In the shower. But
no.
I know the blood shouldn't come out like that. And also you shouldn't be a zombie. But I know it's not good. I know it's not good when that happens, you know?
I know that if you tie to the bed like that, that's how he got in this situation. Am I right, Playboy? Am I right, fellas?
She a freak.
Oh, yeah. She like, oh, when she just was in a zombie and said, choke me, I was like, damn, girl, you remember something of your humanity.
Fuck me. She turned into Reagan from Exorcist.
Yeah. I think for me, the most disturbing part that made me go, ew, because I've got a fragile little boy brain, is when the blood comes out of the vagina. I'm watching people get their heads fucked up and shot off. And I'm like, not blood from a vagina. No, that's the grossest thing ever. Even though we know, ladies, you're going through that every month, and we appreciate you for it.
I think you just got traumatized because you thought you had to drive to Kroger at 11 p.m. and find whatever stuff she sent you pictures of because she doesn't trust you to get the real thing. You got to text the picture back to make sure you got the wings or whatever.
She sent me in for some tampons, some pads, and she wanted a box of Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah. Hey, sir, can I help you? Yeah, I need... Where's the ponds? And the chocolate aisle. I don't even... When I'm sent on a run like that, I text a picture back because I don't want to... I just want to take the one trip. I don't want to get the wrong thing.
Then you got to do a return. You got to keep a receipt. Yeah.
I'm not ashamed. I'll walk right up to the cash register with the tampons or the pads. And I'm a good husband.
Well, good. I'm really... You are. You are a good man. You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
I'll buy it for you, Gavin. What kind do you like? Wings?
I like boneless, actually.
Hey, give me some boneless tampons. Bone in? Or what, traditional?
And that's why we have 50 Patreon subscribers over on patreon.com/sir coming to get you. What kind of pad you like? Boneless. Pow-pow! Another zinger from us.
Traditional. But like the scary part, you know, she's a zombie and she dies but still gives birth to the zombie baby. And I don't know this. We'd have to like hit up Mythbusters to see how that would work. If you could have a normal child or if the zombie blood would get in the baby or whatever.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Blade, because Blade's mother went into labor after she was bitten by a vampire. So that's how Blade became the Daywalker.
Okay. I haven't seen all the Blade trilogy.
Yeah, well, Blade, that's kind of what happened. That's how he can, like, has all their strength, none of their weaknesses except for the thirst. But I think because she got bitten and was a zombie for so long, I think her body was like, well, we're making another zombie now. I think her body would actually turn that baby into a zombie.
And I get one of the scariest parts of the movie is, you know, the lady comes in and she's like, what the fuck is going on here? And Mekhi Phifer's like, you want to tear apart my family? He just lost it. Mentally, he's gone. Yeah. You know?
And that room just you don't know that room's got to be hot and just real sweaty. It's not a good room.
Yeah, just in the baby store.
It's extra green.
What other highlights do we have? They go to the gun store because they find the dog Chips, and there's the scene in the parking garage where they set the zombies on fire. That's cool.
Yeah, I like that they took the buses from the mall and like reinforced them to make like Mad Max style wagons. Thought that was cool. I like they had the chainsaws on the side to like cut zombies down. That was fun and very creative use of zombies. But yeah, you've got, because they want to go, once they realize they can't save them all, they want to go to like the islands, like go to the islands, get on a boat. But everybody starts dying. You got explosions going off. This is just, it's the zombie finale we all want in a zombie movie.
Well, and when you get the part where they go try to rescue Ted Nugent over there.
Yeah.
And of course, he's a zombie. But then it's like, we don't have to question where they're getting all these guns.
Yeah. He just has
a... This movie is a video game, essentially.
Yes. And in the original one, there was a gun store in the mall. But then they took our rights away, and we can't do that anymore.
You got to have separation of mall and gun store. Are there gun stores in the mall anymore? Would they do that now, you think?
I don't think so. I'm sure maybe they do if you have like... Well, I know some Dick's Sporting... Well, Dick's doesn't sell guns anymore, do they?
I don't know. I don't go to Dick's.
Well, if you were athletic, you might, but I go there to look at golf clubs I can't afford.
They sell Crocs at Dick's, don't they? I don't know. You golf?
I golf a little bit. I'm not good, but I wanted to get into something expensive that I'm not very good at.
Yeah, you got to go for the tiddliest. That's the good brand.
Yeah, it is. That's a very good brand. I don't think there are any gun stores anymore in malls.
I don't know. Yeah, there's barely a mall in a mall anymore. Yeah. Like,
is there a gun store in your mall? Hit us up over on Twitter or email us at they're coming to get you pod@gmail.com. Let us know. Is there a gun store in your mall?
Just write mall equal sign 2A.
I do like the finale of this. I like CJ sacrificing himself. I love the scene where they're driving too crazy and the old man like cuts the one girl in half with a chainsaw.
Yeah, like because they got all these bang buses set up differently. Where it's like an airport shuttle or something like that. Where I've been in these buses before, where it's like I'm waiting, you just take me to the gate at the airport or whatever.
Yeah.
But like they've outfitted these, they've got propane tanks that they throw and knock all the zombies down. They've got the chainsaws on the side, which is a great... Anytime you can have a horror movie with a chainsaw, I'm for it, Gavin.
Yeah. A chainsaw is the perfect horror movie weapon. I'm never mad when I see a chainsaw in a horror movie. And just to have it slide across the back of the bus and like cut off legs and stuff. Oh, the gore is so good in this. I love the gore in this.
But then it's like... You know, the chainsaw doesn't run unless you pull the trigger. So if that guy fell on the girl, take your finger off the trigger.
Stop revving it. Like, once it hits her once, you go like, I should probably stop revving this.
Whoa!
I should probably stop. I should take my hand off the trigger. Take it off.
Also, the most annoying character in this movie is the girl that runs after... the dog, because they send Chips over to give him food.
Mm-hmm.
What, and they lower him like down with the crane game. But wouldn't, and of course the zombies aren't interested in the dog, which like if we're doing Walking Dead rules, they just eat your horse. You know, they don't care what it is.
They got a real craving for horse meat.
I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Would have been messed up though if they lower that dog down. And he just gets eaten on the rope. Wouldn't you have felt so shitty?
At that point, they're like, oh, we just made that dog a pinata. We only slightly inconvenienced them. We put that dog right at eye level for eating.
The crane game. But the most annoying is the girl that goes after the dog. Because you've ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, the dog was fine. The dog was fine, but then Lindy Booth, the actress, has to go after Chips because, I mean, she lost her dad. I get it. She's bonded with this dog, but let the dog go. Let the dog go.
Yeah. Look, like, if that was my dog, I'd be devastated, but also, I'm not going to risk the good of the group, you know?
But then you get to the end of the movie where CJ sacrifices himself, blows everything up, and they do get on the boat, they go to the island, and then everything has a very happy ending.
It's just smooth sailing once they get to the island. They're sitting there drinking fruity rum drinks. Everybody's got a Hawaiian shirt. Ving Rhames is like, love y'all.
I love Ving Rhames. Like, I love it. And then he opens an Arby's.
And we have the meats. That we should like put that sound effect over a zombie eating somebody. We have the meats.
I think that the ending is a bit of a downer, because if you just cut it off when they're on the boat, you're like, what a happy ending. But then if you watch the credits, wow. The lead singer of Disturbed gets the shit beat out of him by his mom.
It says, beat the studio. I thought I told you to stay out of the studio.
Oh, God. But then, yeah, it turns out there are zombies on the island, too.
It's a definitely a downer of a movie.
Yes.
But I still love the ending. I think the biggest flaw is they wanted to leave the mall. Why? What are you doing? Just stay in the mall.
Yeah, you don't have to leave. You have to leave. I know Andy was hungry, but you sent him a dog to eat.
Yeah. Hey, man, did you get the fruit roll-ups and stuff? Nah, man, I ate the dog. What the fuck?
Oh, shit, there were fruit roll-ups in that dog? They were in the bag.
Bad.
Sorry, I just thought this dog was looking pretty good.
Oh, God, they sent me a dog to eat.
Oh, you know what else came out around this time? Because we were talking about the zombie thing. This is a fun fact. Universal, who made this, actually slashed the film's budget because House of the Dead was so bad and performed so poorly that they feared that they cut the budget because they thought nobody wanted to see a zombie movie.
Well, they didn't want to see a zombie movie that was that terrible.
Absolutely.
My brother and I, thanks for bringing him up, rented that from Family Video. And it's... if you get a chance, watch it. But it's like they literally cut in House of the Dead video game footage into the movie.
And it's a light gun game that you play at the arcade. It's not like a story-driven game. It's just like you can't intercut light gun shit into a movie. It just makes it really weird.
Well, even for Xbox, I had the game and I got the light gun. So you could play it at home. It's like it was like Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've said it on one of the podcasts that I've been on, where it's like, you know a movie's bad when a kid says, this movie's bad. Like, a kid shouldn't know any better. And I was like, this thing sucks.
We need to cover
even
House
with this budget, they did a great job.
They did a great job, but think about how much more they could have done and had House of the Dead not pooped the bed for everybody.
And I'm surprised that we didn't get more of these.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a good movie. Maybe I don't know how much money it made. That's what it comes down to, really. But, I'm surprised we didn't get more of these.
Yeah, and we deserve it. I know that shortly after this came out, Land of the Dead, that George A. Romero made, and that was kind of similar. That has our good friend and con-goer, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy got the figure over there.
Yeah, in Land of the Dead. And I think after Land of the Dead, I think the rest of all the George A. Romero's movies just went straight to DVD. I don't think they got big theatrical releases.
There's, let me look them up. Dead movies. Romero, dead movies. So we've got Survival of the Dead, Diary of the Dead. One of those is found footage.
Yeah, that's Diary of the Dead.
Okay. And then Land of the Dead, which came out in 2005. And I will champion that movie. Some people don't like it, and they're stupid.
I like Land of the Dead.
But I think that's a good one. Yeah. But yeah, I was looking up the budget for Dawn of the Dead too, because it so we get the numbers. It was $26 million and it made $102 million. How does it not get something, another movie out of this?
Yeah, I don't know. But I think it, as a stand, as I know it's a remake, but as a standalone, it didn't need anything else. I think you could show somebody this movie as their only zombie movie and they can have a good time with it.
Yeah, but when has that ever stopped anybody from making a sequel when they don't need it?
I mean, look, they've never made a Hocus Pocus 2. They've never made
Free from Hell.
They've never done a Beetlejuice sequel. So there are some movies that don't need sequels, okay? I think we should just let them stand on their own.
What else do we have to say about this movie? Because I think we've said a lot of it. I just think the movie's fun in general.
I think it's a lot of fun. Real quick, how much do you think the zombie extras were paid?
$1, Bob.
They were paid $8.50 an hour.
God, go run your ass off over there.
Just go over there and hang out. I think this is probably my favorite zombie movie by far. I think it's the perfect zombie movie. It is a perfect movie for the zombie genre.
I think it's this or I just love Return of the Living Dead so much.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a list, and maybe we can save it for a Patreon episode, Gavin. We didn't set it up this way, but we are trying to milk you from your money and your other fluids.
I've got nipples, Brit. Can you milk me?
It's the 40 essential zombie movies. I'll give you the first two is One Cut of the Dead and then Night of the Living Dead. So maybe, because I said this could be the best zombie movie of all time. Other people would say the original Dawn of the Dead. Some people would say Night of the Living Dead. You wouldn't be wrong, but I'd put this up there. If somebody said, here's the top five zombie movies of all time and this is not in it, I think we'd have to have a discussion on how you're dumb.
You have to have a discussion with my fist in a back alley.
See?
Yeah.
What else do you have to say?
I think everything is good. James Gunn is so good at everything he does. I love James Gunn. And that he helped write this. Such a good movie, all in all. If you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. Highly recommend. And I think it's a fun one that isn't too scary for somebody who doesn't like horror movies.
No. So is this movie scary, Gavin?
I think the opening is pretty scary. Like, the opening's very intense and scary, but everything else is pretty fun and lighthearted.
I do think the zombies are scary.
Yeah.
Like the rage zombies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you get Ty Burrell as a zombie, you get the growl that they have. Like,
mm-hmm.
But I think overall the movie's not scary. There's certain parts of it, you know?
Yeah, I would agree. Well, what was your oh shit moment?
We got the fat lady from Dairy Queen running. Mama's sleeping. I always say that around. Did you ever see American Dad where they reenacted What's Eating Gilbert Grape with squirrels?
I have not.
Oh my God, it's so sad. What a sad movie. I saw that when I was younger, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and I just got sad.
Yeah,
it's not a fun movie.
It's a very heavy movie. It's not a party movie.
But just, well, that was the problem is we had it on my birthday party. But
it was after the clown killed himself. It's like, oh, we gotta put something on for the kids.
Hey, let's put this uplifting movie on. But they reenact it with squirrels on American Dad, and the squirrel's like, Mama's sleeping. It's like, God damn. This is supposed to be funny, but I'm getting sad about it. I don't even know what I was saying. So, the when the lady runs, that one, and then the zombie baby, I think are the two oh shits.
I think my oh shit moment is when the husband at the very beginning like runs out of the house and like starts like pounding on the glass. That's like an oh shit, because you're like, oh my God, I just watched you guys have shower sex, and now you're trying to eat her. And not in a fun way.
Yeah, not a good way either.
Not analingus. Also, he's
running. Oh, my man. ATM. He's running full speed barefoot.
Yeah. I don't like being barefoot. I don't like being barefoot.
I don't like it either. Yeah. So that's my oh shit moment. And that was yours, the guy running after her. What's the best kill?
Best kill for me has to be Andy, the gun store guy, because he just gets his head blowed up. I love a good head explosion.
He's like, hey, Andy, sorry, brother. We have the bullets.
Your head is meat.
none of these kills, I would stand out. And it's the show that we've been doing for almost 100 episodes, and I should just be watching for my favorite kill. And wouldn't you know it, I forgot. If you like this movie, what other movie should you check out?
There's a zombie movie from Korea called Alive that's really mm-hmm. good. The Sadness is a Japanese movie that is a very, very, very triggering zombie movie.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like sexual assault and like extreme ultraviolence, don't watch The Sadness. If you want a very interesting story, though, The Sadness is a great movie. Mm-hmm. And then let's just go ahead and wrap. Let's just go ahead. Original Dawn of the Dead, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, those would be my three.
I've got Train to Busan. I've got Shaun of the Dead. That came in 2004. That was the other like big one.
Mm-hmm.
And like Zombieland. So those are Fast Zombies and 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Is what I would say.
And then real quick, the original, what do you think the original Dawn of the Dead had on Rotten Tomatoes?
97.
It had 91.
Okay.
And then what do you think this one had?
87?
60, oh no, it's 76.
What? How?
I don't know. Well, I think the original was just such a trendsetter for the time period.
Yeah.
And this isn't a perfect movie. It's my favorite zombie movie. It's not perfect though. It has some stuff, but I don't want to look at the flaws. We're done with this episode, okay? Let's go.
That's it. What are we watching next week?
We are going to watch the first of two of our Patreon picks. So we're going to watch the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers that people voted for over on patreon.com/ They're Coming to Get You. It's what you get with your membership. You can vote for us to cover movies on this podcast. And then, because it got so close in second place, in 2 weeks, we're going to watch the Amityville Horror from 2005 starring Mr. Ryan Reynolds and those abs.
Oh, shirtless Ryan Reynolds. And before that, we're going to get more Jeff Goldblum and... the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, so. It's going to be a very sexy 2 weeks of They're Coming to Get You.
I'm getting erect just thinking about it.
And I'm getting erect thinking about you getting erect.
And then I'm getting erect while you thinking, okay.
Oh, God, it's erections all the way down.
That's it. Thanks for being here, dear listener. If you feel so inclined, please support us on Patreon over there. Not necessary, because you're already here. That's what we appreciate you for.
But give us money.
They're coming to get you.
Barbara!
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.